More assistants leaving the 49ers this offseason. Something to worry about. John Lynch taking interviews about broadcasting jobs, all that and more. NFL draft notes as well. Coming up on today's Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you once again here at Biggie Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. This episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. And Croc, the news never stops. A lot of stuff happening over the weekend. Since last we spoke on Friday, Croc, Niners quarterbacks coach Rick Scannarello on his way to Kentucky to be the offensive coordinator there. There was a lot of stuff going on with the broadcasting world and NFL games and Troy Aikman going from one network to another. Amazon, according to Andrew Marchant of the New York Post, Amazon reaching out to John Lynch. According to sources, there was a dinner involved. Lynch probably could have tripled his $5 million general manager salary. But Andrew Marchant was told by this source that Lynch declined those offers and wanted to remain with the front office. But he took the dinner date, Croc. When you're married, you don't take a dinner date. After the season, John Lynch was asked about, you know, his standing with the 49ers, if he would think about going back to the booth. And he said he's all in with this team right now. But he said right now. So he listened to that offer before he turned it down. I mean, look, $15 million, I'd take the dinner date too. But, man, is there something to be worried about here with the 49ers with so many assistants leaving the organization and now John Lynch even at least entertaining the idea of going back to the broadcast booth?
I think the smart thing to do is at the very least hear things out. Now, these are two different things between – coaches leaving and John Lynch's opportunity. When you are John Lynch and obviously football player, but now over, you know, before this gig with the 49ers, his background is being on TV, talking about the games, covering the games, calling games. You never know if you might have to return to the booth. So I think the smart thing is to do is, hey, meet with them, take that meeting, talk to them about, you know, the thing that you have going on and hey, I appreciate it. And tell them in person. People appreciate that, right? You don't want to burn any bridges. Hey, I appreciate you reaching out. I really appreciate the offer. This is good money. I thank you. But right now, this is where I'm at. Now, if for whatever reason this doesn't work out down the line, I hope that we can open back up this conversation and hopefully there's a spot for me. So when it, you know, from John Lynch's standpoint, one, it definitely shows he's all in with the 49ers and it's just to turn that down. But it's different for the other guys, right? Like coaches, if you're not a head coach, you make all these strategic moves to one day become a head coach. So if you're a guy like Rich Scangarillo, you know, I'm pretty sure he doesn't want to be Kyle Shanahan's doormat his whole life,
hey,
you know?
That just got Mike McDaniel a head coach job. That's not the worst thing to be, is to be the number two to Kyle Shanahan. But maybe he wants more. Maybe he just wants to call plays. And I think that's a big part of it. Like if Rich Gangarello just loves coaching and loves calling plays, and he's not going to do that with Kyle Shanahan, he's got to go somewhere else to do it. And there's usually pretty decent money in the SEC and in college football. And for John Lynch, what gets his blood pumping apparently is having a part in wins and losses. And, you know, money is one thing, but if you want to call plays, you might have to go somewhere else. If you want to actually be a part of a team and wins and losses on Sunday to matter, maybe it's more impactful for your life to be able to be a general manager for a team rather than make $15 million a year in the broadcast booth. So you can't fault any of these guys for any of these moves, right?
Well, in Scangarillo, 49ers coach, quarterback coach 2017-2018, he got an opportunity to call plays. He was the Broncos offensive coordinator 2019. He failed and then had to go back down and was the offensive assistant for the Eagles. And then, okay, back to the 49ers quarterback coach. But, okay, yeah, I'm going to move on to the SEC. First of all, and listen, I'm in Arkansas. I understand it is different. If you're in California, it's truly hard to understand the love that these places have for their colleges. It's like how 49er fans are, but like times 10. All right. So however you are as a 49er fan and you think like, man, it doesn't get any bigger than this being a fan, multiply that by 10. And that's how they are in the South for the SEC football. So, you know, okay. Things, whatever. Now you have a bigger opportunity to advance. Now, Scangarillo, he might turn his attention to maybe college. All right, let's go be an offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at a college. And then, hey, maybe I can work my way up. Because if you jump straight in and you're calling plays at Kentucky, that might lead to a head coaching spot at one of these big-time schools in the South that might have an opening. And now you're making millions of dollars, and you are the man. You're the man. Everybody wants an offensive-minded guy. So he already has one foot in the door. I think it's a much better situation than whatever he had going on with the 49ers. So, yeah, I think he would be a fool to turn down being an offensive coordinator in the SEC and what that could lead to, as opposed to calling plays for the 40 or not even calling plays, just being the quarterback coach. Think about the cornerback coach, the DB coach the 49ers had, Jeff Hafley, right? Remember, he stepped away from the 49ers. He had been a DB coach for multiple regimes. He stepped away from the 49ers and went to Ohio State, was their defensive back coach. Next thing you know, he's the head coach at Boston College. He runs the show. Who wouldn't want that? So I think with coaches, it's all about what's going to help me get to either the next level or make more money. And they know nothing is certain in that game. You got to take the opportunity when it comes.
And with Scangarello, he probably saw the writing on the wall with where his NFL career was going and where it could be. And yeah, it's kind of strategic, right? Because you can go to the college level. There's just so many more jobs. And if you do well as offensive coordinator at Kentucky, you can go be a head coach potentially somewhere on the, right. in the college ranks and make a lot of money, and or maybe jump up and be an offensive coordinator for an even bigger program and make some more money. And you could still jump back into the NFL, I'm sure, but it's probably more of a resume builder for Scangarello at this point for where he wants to go in his football career, knowing, you know, he's not going to get a call to be a head coach in the NFL probably. And he might not get that call to be an offensive coordinator again after he had that opportunity and failed. So an interesting one there. The Wes Welker one, though, is the one to me that it's like, okay, you would rather go to a franchise that has failed and fired coaching staffs twice very recently than stay and a lateral move and be a wide receivers coach there rather than stay.
Is the money lateral. Is the money lateral. What is, more responsibility? Does he get more responsibility? Like, does he have his hand in more things, and is there more potential for him to advance? Hey, is he being groomed as more of the offensive coordinator? You have McDaniel there. Maybe McDaniel's like, all right, listen, you come in, you're the receiver coach, we're going to pay you more. Also do this. I'm going to prep you to be the offensive coordinator, so it's better for you down the line. You know, I don't know that to be the case, but I'd assume there's something that pried him away from a 49ers team who I feel like he's had a good rapport with the receivers and things like that. Or maybe he doesn't like the way that Kyle Shanahan has made him handle some of his receivers, you know, and putting guys in the doghouse, Brandon Ayuk, and maybe not having as much say-so about that situation. So, you know, there's always things you just never really know how it's all playing out behind doors, closed doors.
Yeah, who knows what those personalities are like. I will say about the money, maybe you get a little bump in money going from San Francisco to Miami because they got to pry you away. But you make a lot less money when your coaching staff gets fired. And I think there's a lot more stability there and a lot more people getting hired from the San Francisco 49ers staffs to better jobs elsewhere than the Miami Dolphins staffs recently.
Hold on. Real quick, one last thing about Miami.
Yeah.
I don't think they got state taxes. So I don't think they pay. I don't think
the same money is more money.
The same money is more money.
Although you got to treat your car as property. They got do they have that property tax like you got hit with, Croc, when you bought a car in Arkansas? They have that.
Yeah, but that's chump change, right? I mean, I had to pay $2,500 for you know, almost $40,000 car. Like, they got to pay, I'm pretty sure. His car might not. I mean, I got, you know, not saying I got a big dog, but, you know, I got a Dodge Hemi. He probably got a big truck or something. Maybe he pays $4,500 for his big truck. That ain't gonna hurt his pockets at all. Like,
are you trying to say he has small man's complex and he has to overcompensate for being 5'8" by buying a big truck?
He looks like he drives a big truck.
And hold on, Croc. I know you're like a baller status over here with the YouTube money and everything, but $2,500 might be nothing to you. It might be chump change to Crocker, but some folks might not want to throw that down every time they're buying a murdered out, blacked out Hemi, you know?
Well, it's a one-time thing. So I think that's the part where, and luckily, you know, doing all these different things, I work really hard. It made it to where I did not want to pay that. All right. So it's not chump change from that standpoint. It's chump change to a guy making good money coaching at the NFL level. For me, it was like 25. I asked the lady, yeah. I said, she was like, okay, that's going to be 2567 or whatever it was. Right. And I was like, oh, okay. How much of that do I pay today? She was like, all of it. I'm like, oh, what? What is this? Talk about being caught off guard.
Yeah, that's rough. Otherwise, you got to like, shoot, I just bought this car. I got to keep it parked and then make enough money to go pay this tax so I can drive this stinky thing.
Yeah. We have 30 days, but yeah.
30 days. Okay, that's not bad. All right, cool. We got to move on to some other points. I want to talk NFL draft with you, Croc. As the host of Locked On NFL Draft, some interesting comments from some other folks in the media about this draft class. Guy like Daniel Jeremiah has been doing this for a long time. What he said about where Trey Lance would have gone in this 2022 draft if he went back to school for another year, and how this draft class, the strengths and weaknesses might be helping the San Francisco 49ers where they pick coming up. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Come on. Have you tried Built Bars yet? If you have not, you're missing out. Built Bar Puffs. Are you kidding me? The first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, marshmallowy. They're not just a protein bar. They're a treat. Built Bars are the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And yeah, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. So you can feel good about eating a Built Bar. It also tastes fantastic. And you don't feel like you're on a diet eating a diety snack. You feel good about the snack you're eating and you get a low calorie bar.
Hey, Peacock, as someone that likes to snack a lot, man, those Built Bar Puffs with how good they are and low in calorie and everything, the banana cream pie one that they have, key lime pie, terrific. I like to snack. I want to eat pudding. I want to eat cake. I want to eat all my kids' snacks in the pantry. But the thing that helps me most is being able to go in there and grab a Built Bar Puff that gives me that same sensation and know that I'm not eating crap. And it helps me stay on track with everything else I'm doing.
Exactly. Low calorie, low sugar, low net carbs, high in protein. And look, I wish you guys could see right before we go on the air, almost every time Croc has got something, a bowl of something, and he's cramming down food. And he's such a busy guy, he's jumping from this show to this show. He's training athletes and the dude needs to eat and he loves his snacks and he's always cramming down something. I need to put together a highlight reel of Croc being like, okay, hold on. I got to finish up whatever this is I'm eating. I got to cram down this Built Bar real quick before we go on the air because I need that protein. I need that power to go through this podcast. So go to built.com. You can get yourself a box of Built Bars with promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Some interesting comments, Croc, about this draft class, the 2022 draft, which you are like elbows deep in right now on Locked On NFL Draft Podcast Daily, by the way, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you make that your second listen after you make Locked On 49ers your first listen. And for your third listen, go check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show Daily featuring myself and former NFL scout Matt Williamson talking about the entire league. Really fun episode today, actually, on Peacock and Williamson, and we project out where all these quarterbacks are going to land in the 2022 the QB carousel, like just the madness that's going on. Half the league changing quarterbacks every year now, it seems like. Croc, the 49ers are going to be one of those teams. Jimmy G's on the trade block, but let's talk Trey Lance. Daniel Jeremiah, in his media availability before the combine, he said that Trey Lance would very likely be the number one overall pick if he was in this draft class. Do you get a sense that it would be a slam dunk situation? Like right now, obviously the Jacksonville Jaguars have drafted their franchise quarterback last year at number one overall. They got the number one overall pick again. Would they be just sitting back and collecting offers if Trey Lance would have gone back to North Dakota State and was in this draft class right now?
Yeah. If Trey Lance just did exactly what he did as a freshman at 19 years old, he'd be the number one overall pick. This quarterback class, they don't have that type of prospect. They don't have that caliber of prospect as a quarterback. And for everything, 49ers, I think it's different because you see Jimmy Garoppolo. And then, you know, from an efficiency standpoint or a knowledgeable standpoint, you take a step down. These other teams, they're not looking at it like that. They might have quarterbacks that are not very competent, or they don't have to win right now. So they would love to have someone like a Trey Lance who, one, adjusts extremely well and fast, as Greg Cosell talked about, going from the first game against the Arizona Cardinals and then going to his second game and how he was impressed with the jump that he made just in that short span of time and with limited first string snaps. You know, Trey Lance is someone that people like the mentality of him. He's a big guy, 6'4", almost 230 pounds, and he's still really young. He's probably only going to get bigger and stronger, especially with all the, you know, traits that he has, the arms. There's not that guy in his class. You maybe have a Malik Willis, but even then, he's not as physically imposing as a Trey Lance. So, yeah, I think there is a scenario where a team says, you know what, let's trade up for this guy, the Denver Broncos. Hell, there's people putting together Trey Lance and Denver Bronco color swap jersey things or whatever, jersey swaps, talking about trading 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance. Yeah,
I feel bad for Broncos fans right now, Croc, because Aaron Rodgers is probably going to stay in Green Bay. And and those Broncos fans, just like some other fans we talked, and we talked about this storyline a lot with Jimmy G, like the fan bases aren't super stoked about it. Broncos fans are out there scoffing at Jimmy G too. Like, we don't need Jimmy G. We're going to go get Aaron Rodgers. We won't trade for Jimmy G. We'll trade for Trey Lance. Like, Broncos fans might be very, very disappointed to see maybe Jimmy G, maybe, I don't know, Kirk Cousins as their starting quarterback. You know, maybe Malik Willis at pick number 9. But, you know, there's a very good chance that they're quite a bit disappointed unless Aaron Rodgers decides to pick them and wants to go to Denver. There's a lot of teams like that. And that's what our podcast on Peacock and Williamson was about. And it's going to be a fun offseason for sure.
You talked about Malik Willis, and you see a lot of ups and downs in his game, and you see the upside. One thing, I get it, because, you know, Trey Lance is young and he's been tagged as green. I think more so than anything, it's just because of the kind of where he's at, limited throws, things like that. But you did not get up and down play from Trey Lance in college. And I think people forget that. It was 28 touchdowns, 0 picks. And that's not saying he didn't have any interceptable passes, but he, for the most part, took very good care of the ball. He had the explosive plays through the air, on the ground. I get it, FCS level, but he dominated it. He was hands down, he was like the first player ever to win it as a freshman, their Player of the Year award. They went undefeated, won a national title. Like, he was a very dominant player. So some of these other guys, you know, like Malik Willis, like, there's much more ups and downs, even though you see the upside, than what you saw even coming out from Trey Lance, even as youthful and as inexperienced as he was.
Right. And in this draft class, and for those 49ers fans out there that haven't gotten into the film on these quarterbacks, because they know the Niners aren't going to be drafting one of those guys, Malik Willis is the sort of the high upside quarterback in this class. But he went to Liberty. He transferred from, was it Auburn?
Auburn.
Yeah. So, you know, why couldn't you get on the field at your first college, right? You had to transfer to Liberty to play. He's got some high level traits, but imagine this, Croc, with your scouting report on Malik Willis, because you're right. Trey Lance's college performances were so consistent. He was just even. He was just solid. And he definitely missed some throws. Accuracy were some questions coming out. We saw some of those accuracy issues early on in his rookie year as well. But he was just so solid, and at that young age ran his offense efficiently in college. And it was more of a pro-style offense. And a team could look at that, especially Kyle Shanahan's watching that film and saying, man, there is so much here to work with, because you could see how much better he could be. But it wasn't up and down. And even how even he was as a rookie with the 49ers as a 20-year-old or 21-year-old. He just turned 21 after the draft, I think. And if you said, as an evaluator right now, and you took Malik Willis, you said, okay, all of the height, weight, speed stuff, except for give him, instead of being 6'3", make him 6'4". So now Malik Willis is 6'4". And
like
now
20 pounds heavier.
And play all of that roller coaster of good play, bad plays, like, what the heck is he doing here? Okay, I love that. And you make that a little bit more even. How high would he go up in on those draft boards, right? That would be a huge difference for Malik Willis, because a lot of the the high level stuff you talk about with Malik Willis, you talked about with Trey Lance last year, and a lot of the head scratchers you didn't really have with Trey Lance. So, I mean, imagine where Willis would be. Guess what? Number one overall pick type stuff, which is where Trey Lance would be in this class. So I think Daniel Jeremiah is right about that. The other thing about Daniel Jeremiah's comments, as he said, it wasn't just Trey Lance. He said there might be 10 guys that would go number one overall in this class. So he's talking about all the quarterbacks. He's talking about
Jamar Chase, Sewell.
Right. So it's more about this draft class than it is about just Trey Lance being the number one guy last year. I think, this is not the best year to have a pick super early in this class. And the Niners maybe, I don't know if it was luck or if it was planned that way, but maybe it was the right move to go all in last year for a quarterback because that player is not there for them this year. If they were sitting there at pick 29 and decided they wanted to go get their quarterback of the future now and move on from Jimmy, last year was the year to do it.
Right. And also Greg Cosell and Matt Mielko talked about how much more accurate and efficient Trey Lance was against Houston and just what the ball looked like as opposed to the first time you saw him and how erratic it was. So I think 49er fans should be happy with the growth, and I'm pretty sure other NFL teams probably saw him as that type of person, that type of player. Matter of fact, we know the Falcons did, that type of guy who is just – he's going to get better. He's going to improve, and there's a lot there. It's interesting to hear all the so green type things because I thought his second start was up there with the other guys' early starts as well, and I thought it looked just as good, if not better, than most of the performances. So if that was the projection of him coming out, hey, he's going to improve at this clip, I think he's on pace with that, and I think that would still go number one in this upcoming class.
Yep, and apologies to Denver Broncos fans, but when John Lynch got out of that dinner with Amazon and said no to them, he probably said no even faster to your trade offer for Trey Lance because he's not going anywhere. That is the future
of the
San Francisco 49ers franchise. Next, more on that 2022 draft class, and maybe it's not top-heavy in the top 10 picks of the class, but the strength from mid-one through the second round where the 49ers do have at least one pick and maybe have a second pick coming. That is the strength of this class. Let's talk about that part of the draft class the Niners might be dipping into once or twice next. Football is over for the 2021-2022 season, but you can still bet on football. You can bet on Super Bowl futures. You can bet on the NFL draft, which for me is a lot of fun. I think you get a little advantage when it comes to the NFL draft and knowing what teams are going to do year after year. You can find more and more of those draft props at betonline.net, the number one spot for all of your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, even podcasts and news this season. And it's not just about football. Basketball in full swing, both pro and college. March Madness firing up with college basketball, which is always some of the most fun you can bet on all year long. BetOnline.net is also your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds, and just about anything else you can imagine, including Vegas casino games. So head over to the website or use your mobile device today to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Another interesting comment, Croc. Let's see if we can go two for two. Daniel Jeremiah talking about this draft class, and he said not only would maybe up to 10 guys be the number one overall pick in this 2022 class if they were in this class from a year ago, but the separation between picks, say, 15 and 60. Now, the Niners are picking 61, so they're just outside of that. But basically, mid-first round through round two, he said, are as tight as he could ever imagine. So does that mean the 49ers could be sitting there at the end of round two, potentially having a couple picks if they get a second rounder from Jimmy Garoppolo, and potentially draft two players that are maybe late, mid-late round one value? Because we see guys fall every year, and I think there were guys, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah last year was a good example. I thought that guy was a first-round pick all day, and he was sitting there in the 50s for the Cleveland Browns. So is this draft, when you talk about the 49ers making a move to go get their quarterback last year and now where they're sitting in round two, is this draft just working out perfectly for the 49ers with its strengths and weaknesses?
Yes and no. I think part of it is, right, like how top heavy is this class in the sense of guys that would go higher than maybe the previous class, right? Again, we talked about the quarterbacks that typically get pushed up boards, but you don't have that in this class. And then, you know, just the Jamar Chases, the Penei Sewell, who most people consider generational prospects, right? You don't quite have that, or the three receivers that are going to go top 10. So I think now maybe more guys are kind of being pushed up boards. And then when you look at 15 to, you know, 50 or 60 or whatever, I think that's, those guys are typically the, you know, 30, you know, 25 to pick 80 top guys. So they're just, so I think that's the issue there. I hope that makes sense with how I said that.
No, that makes total sense. So maybe because of the lack of top heaviness, it's not so much depth in this class. It's
because there's typically not as much separation from pick, you know, 25 to pick 75, right? There's not a whole lot of separation between those guys. Well, that just kind of gets pushed up and starts at pick 13 or so.
Is there more depth in this class in maybe even late day two or day three because there's just more players available because of the whole extra season thing with a lot of guys who didn't play the year before and the COVID stuff? Did that just pause some careers to the point where there's just more players in this draft class that could add some depth to it?
No, you know, I mean, I guess that, you know, that always can be the case. A lot of guys missed out on playing time, but this class just seems to be very deep at certain players. Now, maybe there's not that top end guy, right? Or two top end guys. But I mean, at the offensive alignment, like if you need an offensive alignment, a tackle, or potentially a guard, this is the class for that. Like they're going to be runs of it deep. Receivers and cornerbacks, that seems like a position that's going to consistently be pretty deep from here on out. I don't think there's going to be any issue finding like legit receivers day two, day three. Maybe not, again, maybe not the Jamar Chase prospect, that how people felt about him, but just in the general, being able to find a really good receiver, I think that's going to be consistent. But then another class, part of this class that's really good, that's typically not as strong, the edge class. It was damn near non-existent in last season's class, last year's class. This class, the edge class is really deep. And everybody knows about Kayvon Thibodeau. Everybody knows about Aiden Hutchinson. But man, I mean, Jeremiah Johnson out of Florida State. You got man. I mean, there's so many guys I can't even think of. Like Ojabo. My mind is Ojabo, who I think might even be a higher end upside guy than Aiden Hutchinson, and they play on the same team. He jumped out so much. You got Boye Mafe. I mean, nobody's even talking about the kid Drake Jackson out of USC, the defensive end. They're not even talking about him. I mean, it's a super deep edge class. So I think from those standpoint, maybe that's what helps with just a pure deeper class. Those big time positions, tackle and edge, they have those in abundance in this class.
I know it's Mock Draft Monday on Locked On NFL Draft. And for a second, I was going to ask you who you had the 49ers taken, but then I remembered, oh yeah, that's right. They don't have a first round pick. We haven't gotten into those. Are you trying to talk Ryan Tracy into doing two round mocks on the show just so you can get the 49ers a pick at 61?
We might need to. We might have to play off of our last pod. And maybe we'll do that tonight. We'll see if we do that tonight. Play off of our last pod. We have that printed out, the first round. We can maybe plug in all those guys and then do a second round mock. And we have not done that yet. You might have just gave us the show for tomorrow's episode.
There we go. I think 49ers fans would have a lot more fun checking into your round two mock than maybe your round one mock. It should be a lot of fun. All right, good stuff, Croc. I'm excited for the NFL draft, and it's always how it happens, man. And I was late getting into the prospects, but the more I watch guys and the more I see some depth and I see some players that are maybe round two guys, you see some round one guys fall. Maybe Daniel Jeremiah is correct, and 15 through 60, there's not much difference at all. So we'll see how it goes for the 49ers. It's going to be a lot of fun. They can move up. They could move down. Do you have a name that you want to talk about, Croc?
Well, I was going to say, I talked about the receiver class being very deep. Well, this year is very intriguing because there are some guys coming off of injury that have really high upside. So if you look at maybe a Drake London out of USC, big receiver, 6'5", 210, 215 pounds, got the basketball background. Midway through the year, he's probably leading all of college football in receptions and yards, and he hurt his ankle, so he was out the rest of the year. Nothing too crazy, but that's a guy that could potentially slide to second round. a guy like Jameson Williams. I think if he didn't tear his ACL in the championship game, he'd probably be the number one receiver off of the board. Because of the ACL, teams might not care about it. And, hey, he'll be ready by the start of the season. Some may say, you know what, it's going to push him down the board. And
he's not getting, past Trent Baalke and the Jaguars in round two, though.
I know, right? And then George Pickens, the receiver out of Georgia. He dealt with an injury, but that's a big body guy. Terrific athleticism, good catch. Very limited play last year. He came back late and didn't really get the targets and everything like that. But he's a guy who might really be a little underrated right now and kind of slip through the cracks and potentially be a late day two pick for somebody that was probably projected to be a first rounder without a doubt. So yes, there are some guys that had some injuries. And that's Carl Pickens' son. Y'all might remember Carl Pickens, Cincinnati Bengals. It's his son. There's some guys that might kind of slip a little bit that have really big upside.
Yeah, George Pickens, when he was like a freshman at Georgia, people were talking about him. It was like, oh, this is the future wide receiver one.
Yeah.
And I don't even see him in first round mocks anymore. So that's kind of crazy.
No, not at all. Not at all. And he has the ability.
I heard Drake London, the USC guy. I heard he's going to run like crazy slow, like 4.7 maybe.
I don't know. You know,
does he look that slow?
He looks faster than Juwan Jennings, who ran 4.7. How fast? I'm not sure. I think for him, it's how good is his lateral mobility. If he could run in a 4.5s, that'd be a win. 4.53, 4.54. And if he tests really good with the agility stuff, then I don't think there'll be any issues because he's probably the best contested catch guy in this class by far. Matter of fact, he missed this like second half of the season and he led college football in contested catches, like total, you know? So he has that type of ability. You want that big guy that can go up and get it, but his run after catch is very underrated. It's not him just, I make a guy miss and I outrun everybody to the end zone, but it's break a tackle, throw this guy off. Almost like a George Kittle type run after catch type guy, man. So, but maybe not even as fast as George Kittle. Oh, no, we'll see. But terrific guy. And General Jeremiah, you talked about him earlier. He has Drake London as his wide receiver one in this class, going number 10 to the New York Jets.
Wow. Kruk, remind everybody, by the way, what your 40 time was?
4.53 was my fastest 40, and it was hand time. So, maybe not the most accurate time. I just say I was a 4.55 guy.
Yeah, you just say you're a 4.5 guy. That could be 4.50 pretty easy. That could get to 4.49, I think, pretty easy from 4.53, right? It's a little better start.
If
maybe
I really
you worked on a little bit more.
These guys work on this stuff for 8 weeks straight. Like if I had worked on it for 8 weeks straight at an elite program, I probably could have been a legit 4.5 flat laser time guy.
You worked on it for like a week, right?
I worked on mine for about 3 hours total on my start and went from a 4.71 to a 4.53.
It was all about the start, right?
All about the start. Explode now, understanding your steps. I basically initially was popping straight up and my back foot, when it moved, it would only come even to the next to where my other foot was starting at. So I had to shorten up my stance and then use my arm to really explode out. The more you lift that arm, your legs follow, and then it helps you burst out more. But if I would have been able to work on that as well as my leg turnover and just being more explosive in general and having a stronger core, I could have got my 40 time down like at laser time. It probably could have been pretty good.
Yeah, maybe 4.3s we're talking here. I mean, come on.
No, I was never going to be that guy. Those guys wake up and they're fast. They wake up fast.
Those guys that run the crazy times and it just looks effortless. There's floating across the turf. Nuts. All right, we got to get out of here. It's going to be a lot of 40 times this week at the NFL Combine. A lot of fun NFL draft season heating up. I think when all these GMs and teams are together, having steak together at St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, might see some trades brewing as well in the NFL. Kruk and I got everything 49ers covered for you right here every day. Thanks for making us your first listen. A reminder for your second listen, check out Peacock and Williamson. Check out Locked On NFL Draft daily and free on all of your favorite platforms. Kruk and I back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.